This morning I want to take you to the inside of the church council meeting. And some of you will have been in church council meetings before and think, why on earth is David wanting to take us inside a church council meeting? But I want us to take you inside the one we had last Monday. And last Monday, one of the things that we did in that meeting was that we spent a fair bit of time reflecting on those prophetic words that people had shared during the listening time in January. And we posted them in the hub, and we encourage you to read them and reflect on them and pray into them. And we reflected on the fact that there seemed to be a great consistency coming through those words, particularly around the provision of God and the supply of God. And there was a picture of a fountain with water coming out of it, that even when there was drought elsewhere, water kept coming out of that fountain. And there was a passage, I think from, I can't remember where, talking about a new season of freshness has come. And there was a repeated references to John 15 about abiding in God and fruitfulness. And when we get these messages, when people spend time in praying and listening to God, we take it seriously. And it's interesting because those particular things are things that have been marinating in the life of our church as well over the last 6 months. And when I came back from my sabbatical in the middle of the year, it was the beginning of John 15 was really impressed on me about I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. And it's about looking for where the vine is growing, not me having to make the vine grow, but me looking for where the vine is growing and where the Father might be doing some gardening and if I can help out at all. And a number of the small groups have, in the back half of last year, went through some stuff about Sabbath. And that's really about making a habit in your life of stopping and resting and delighting and reconnecting with God in the rhythm of your life. And so this is a repeated thing that God seems to be impressing on us in the life of our church. And so that's something that we noticed and we prayed into, and we want you to notice and you to pray into as we go into this year. And at the beginning of February, oftentimes in churches, churches will launch brand new visions for the year. Well, we're not doing that today. But what we are going to do is we're going to take you into a second thing that we spent a fair bit of time last Monday looking at. In fact, every time over the last 12 months as we've gathered together as a church council, we've looked at that, and we've looked at this question. And so if we're doing anything today, we're launching a question. We're not launching a vision. We're not launching some new program or whatever else. We're just launching a question. And we're launching the question because it's something that we have been using and we want all of us to use. And this is the question. What might it look like for us to help more people become a bit more like Christ with God's wisdom and energy? This is the question that we have been asking ourselves at church council and at small group leaders meetings and at other leadership structures in the life of our church. We've been asking ourselves this question repeatedly over the last 12 months, and we would love you to join us in asking and attempting to answer that question. What might it look like for us to help more people become a bit more like Christ with God's wisdom and energy? And before you think, oh, well, David, that's just a nice question. Where on earth did it come from? It actually has a really strong scriptural basis from what Colossians chapter 1, and this is what Paul says in Colossians chapter 1. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. And hopefully you will see, basically every element of our question comes from this verse. We're just copying the Apostle Paul. Because in this place, Paul says it's about presenting people to God that have become like Jesus. And in fact, that's the destiny for each one of us in Romans chapter 8. It says that our destiny is to be conformed to the image of his Son, and that's what God is already working on. If we're going to be doing stuff, let's at least align ourselves with what God is doing, which is helping people to become, God's working on making people like Jesus, And we amazingly get invited to help with that. But here's the thing. A, it needs wisdom. Paul needs that. And B, it needs God's energy. Like most of us here are flat out. Now, a few of us might be flat out just relaxing, but most of us are flat out just toiling away, right? And some of us have less of that because we're living more into a healthy rhythm of rest and work. But that's the point. Paul didn't go around doing all the things he did out of his own energy, but out of God's energy. And that's why those prophetic words about the fountain and abiding and all those sort of things are so important, because the thing that God is wanting us to do this year is not something that we've got to try and muster our own meager energy resources for, but it's something that we've got to let the energy and the power of God flow through us to enable that to happen. So when we think about this question, what might it look like to help more people become a bit more like Christ? And we've deliberately gone for a bit more like Christ. It's not like we've got to turn someone from, you know, totally unlike Jesus to like 100% facsimile of Jesus in 12 months. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. With God's wisdom and energy. Now, we can ask this question in all sorts of different ways. What might it look for us as a church to help people, a few more people, become a bit more like Jesus? But we can also ask it about, like, what might it look like as youth group or as kids church or as my small group or your small group? Or what might it look for us, like, what might it look like for us as a family or me as an individual to help more people become a bit more like Jesus? With God's wisdom and energy. Not my wisdom and energy or your wisdom and energy, but with God's wisdom and energy. And one of the things that we reflected on about that is, if we're going to do some of that, then we might need to do some actual pruning in our lives. If God is calling us to do some other things that might help people become a bit more like Jesus, there might be some other things that we need to cut over out of already full lives to enable that to happen. Because we are super aware of not just loading extra things on everybody, just one more thing on your to-do list. So what might we stop in order to start doing something else? Or what might we do less frequently so that we can either do other things a bit more frequently? Or what might we do for a less length of time so that we've got a bit more time to do some other things? Asking God for his wisdom and energy. But we can also ask this question in a reflective way. How have we gone? How has my small group gone over the last 6 months at helping us be a bit more like Jesus? How have our church services gone at helping us become a bit more like Jesus? How has my preaching gone? That's a sobering question for me to ask. How have I gone in talking with my neighbour about helping them become a bit more like Jesus? Or how have I gone helping my kids become a bit more like Jesus? That's a reflective version of the question, right? But that just helps us identify, okay, this worked, that didn't work, maybe that season's come to an end, whatever else, because we also want to be forward-looking. What might it look like for us? You could even ask this question on a daily basis, God. What might it look like today for me to help someone become a bit more like Jesus? And it might be that God says, well, why don't you pray for that person? Or why don't you ring that person? Or why don't you go and visit that person? Why don't you send them an email with this Bible verse in it? Or it may be over a bigger time frame, over a week or a month or a season, I'm going to make time in my life to catch up with this person regularly. Or I'm going to go and join that group and we're going to do this together. Because we don't want in the life of our church, like just the church council and the ministry team determine these are the things we are going to do this year and then we've got to somehow convince you to do it all. We want you to discern what God is prompting you to do to help answer this question. We want these things to bubble up, not to be forced down. Because each of you has a unique perspective on the world. The people that you connect with, the people that you relate with, the people that you interact with. Nobody else has exactly the same set of relationships that you do. Nobody else has exactly the same sets of internal natural talents, but also spiritual gifts that you do. And when a few of you get together, that particular group has its unique perspective and unique contribution to make. And so we don't want to sort of tell you what it must be, but we want to help you ask and answer this question. What might it look like for you, for us, to help more people become a little bit more like Jesus with God's wisdom and energy? And so we'd love you to ask and answer that question. And if you have some reflections on that that relate to your small group, feed that into your small group. If you have some reflections of that that feed in that relate to youth or kids' church or Coffee Connect or whatever else, feed that in. If it's to do with Sunday services, feed that in. If it's to do with the whole church, feed that in. We want to have wisdom and perspective about this. Because where else can you go in this world to find help to become more like Jesus? Apart from the church in all of its various forms. Like in small groups or mid-sized groups or whatever. Where else can you go? Nowhere. You can go to a hospital to get help with your sickness. You can go to a neighborhood house to get connected to community. You can go to lots of different places to get elements of what is part of the life of the church. But the unique thing you get at being part of a church is help in becoming more like Jesus, which is the best outcome for your life. The connection with God, the love, the joy, the peace, the power, the purpose that Jesus had, the ability to go through difficult times and to be victorious in them. No one else had a life like Christ. And Christ invites you and me in to have that sort of life. And if the church is the only place really where that can happen, then it's got to be the question we've got to be asking and answering all the time. So I invite you this week, just every day, saying, God, what might it look like for me today to help someone become a little like Jesus? In your small group, just ask and answer the question. Ask and pray the question. Listen to God. And now we want to get to the second bit of what I want to talk about today, because if we're going to help someone become a bit more like Christ, the first step in that process is that they've actually got to become a follower of Jesus, right? And that can be like a bit of a mysterious thing. How does that happen? Like, we might often think, well, what needs to happen is that the church runs some event, I invite a person, a random person that I've met, to come to some event, and then some mysterious thing happens and they become a follower of Jesus. And so we don't necessarily understand the process, so therefore we can't look out for what God might already be doing in people's lives. And if you're on the church email, and if you aren't on the church email, message me in the hub or text me or something so you can be on the church email, because this week Rita shared a great story about what's been happening in a small group that they started last year that came out of connections with an English language school, and some people have done Alpha and become followers of Jesus, and a marriage has been transformed. All sorts of amazing things have happened in a process of people coming to learn about Jesus and then choosing to follow Jesus and become a bit more like Jesus. And so I encourage you to read that in the week. If you haven't opened the weekly email yet, open it there. It's not on the hub anywhere else. We're going to be posting stuff in the weekly email that's unique to the email. We'll give you a reason to go there. But we have started this year referring a few times to the Gospel of John. We looked at, you know, everything starts with God, in the beginning God. And in the beginning God is built on by, in the beginning, God is with us. God is tabernacled among us. And last week we looked at John chapter 1 verse 12, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave right to become the children of God. But the interesting thing is that the first four chapters of the Gospel of John, it actually gives us some insight and some record into a variety of different people that became followers of Jesus. And so, after today, I hope you encourage you to go home and just read through the first four chapters of the Gospel of John and pay attention to how people became followers of Jesus. We're going to look at it briefly now, but I encourage you to go back and look at it because that feeds into our reflection that we're going to be doing in our workshop after the service next week. We're going to be reflecting on what was the sort of actual processes. Like, we know it's God that draws us, right? We know that God has started the work and all those sort of things, but we can begin to reflect on your experience and my experience. Okay, these were the things that helped me transition as a person who was born into a Christian family, transition from being in a Christian family to owning the faith myself. Or there's other people who didn't grow up in a Christian family at all, how they became connected with Jesus and became a follower of Jesus. Or how people were maybe connected with God in their childhood and then went away and then came back. We want to reflect together about what are the key things that happened so that we can then be on the lookout for it and we can be maybe aware how God might be nudging you and me to be those key people in those circumstances. So in John chapter 1, verse 35, and John the Baptist had been testifying about the one will come after me, etc. And then it says this, the next day John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Okay, that's interesting, isn't it? So here there's some people that were spiritually seeking. They were following John the Baptist already. And then John the Baptist pointed them to Jesus. And they followed Jesus. That's interesting, isn't it? There's actually people involved with that. And then they, keep reading it, when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. And so then John had pointed them to Jesus, and then they just figured out a way to stay with Jesus. So maybe you and I need to point people to Jesus and help them figure, like, Jesus isn't physically here, but how can they stay with Jesus? Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah. That's how it often happens. Good news about Jesus spreads through family networks. I mean, Peter ended up being the leader of the church. Imagine if his brother had never invited him and never said, hey, we found this guy. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at Simon and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which translated means Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, follow me. So in this particular case, Jesus just directly found him. And sometimes people just are in a hotel room and pick up a Gideon's Bible or turn on the TV or do a search on the internet or whatever else and they come across Jesus. And that's another way that people become followers of Jesus. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. And for those who, you know, I went on this trip through Israel last year and they found the real Bethsaida. It's like only in the last 12 months that they've actually confirmed, yeah, this is the town that Simon and Andrew and Philip actually came from on the northeast shore of the Sea of Galilee. And the excavations there are ongoing. Anyway, that's just the archaeology nerd in me coming out for a little bit. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael. So you can see here how relational connections, whether it's actual family relatives or just people that you know, are just so important. In the when we examine the processes of how individuals actually became followers of Jesus, the vital role that other people played. And I reckon that's exactly the same for you if you're a follower of Jesus. You would be able to identify in your life some of the people that God used and played a vital role in that for you. And then Jesus has, in the rest of chapter 1, has a conversation with Nathanael and says he's going to see some greater things than this. In chapter 2, it's about Jesus turning water into wine at the wedding in Cana. And it says this in verse 11, what Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. You see, they became a bit more like Jesus. Their confidence in Jesus grew because they were hanging around him and they saw this amazing thing happen. But then we're going to skip to chapter 3. And Jesus had been in the Passover festival in Jerusalem and had been teaching publicly and had been doing miraculous signs and all those sort of things. And then it says in chapter 3, now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you were doing if God were not with them. Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old? Nicodemus asked. And then there's a further conversation, and you know, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. For some people becoming followers of Jesus, addressing their questions is a vital part of the process. Nicodemus had heard like and seen about Jesus from afar, and now he wanted to get some answers sorted out. Who are you really, and how does this all work? And for many of us, when we think back, maybe there were times when you were confused or unclear about Jesus, or you had doubts or questions. And some people helped you with that. And in chapter 4, it's the well-known story of the woman at the well, right? And here Jesus interacts with her. Jesus is prompted by the Spirit, I think it's fair to say, to go via Samaria when he could have gone another route. And he interacts with this woman and speaks to her deep need. I mean, she presents, you know, sort of religious arguments when Jesus starts to get a bit close, but Jesus speaks to her deep need. And maybe that was your experience. God really spoke to a deep need for you at a particularly crucial moment in your life. And maybe God might want to use you or me to speak some truth into God, into someone's life at a critical moment in their life too. But it wasn't just this woman at the well who became a follower of Jesus. Most of the people in her village became a follower of Jesus. Because after Jesus had done the interaction with her, it says then in verse 28, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. And then further on it says down in verse 42, they said to the woman, we no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves and we know that this man really is the Saviour of the world. The importance of personal testimony. This is how God's been real for me. That was vital for those people in that village. So just as we read through these four chapters, there's family connections, there's relational connections. There's dealing with doubts. There's meeting of need, the sharing of testimony. All of these things are factors that go into helping people become followers of Jesus. And me just talking about this morning, you may well have already started to reflect on your own life. And that's what we want to do next week. We want to have conversations about when did you start to learn or believe in Jesus? Who was around that influenced you? What was it about them that attracted you or influenced you? When you had doubts and questions, or what helped you? Who or what helped you? What were the different church, community, friendship spaces that helped you explore God? And we just want to share those things together. We want to reflect on our stories. We'll hear the diversity. And maybe out of that, some things will begin to emerge for us about, okay, this is how God seems to work in these sort of different patterns and ways. How can we be open to that in our lives this year? Because that's answering part of that question. What might it look like to help more people come a bit more like Jesus with God's wisdom and energy? I'm going to invite the music team to come back up as we finish with a prayer. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you have been speaking into the life of our church consistently about abiding with you, relying on you, receiving your energy and your nutrition. Lord, please help us take that seriously. May we experience that, each one of us, in fresh ways. Lord, help keep, with all the things that are going on in this world, Lord, help us keep this core thing front and center, that you want people, everyone, to become more like Jesus. And Lord, we just want to be people who cooperate with you with what you're already doing. Not our great ideas, but your God ideas. So give us discernment, give us wisdom, and give us energy, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing about the goodness of God.